You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in our last lecture, we were discussing how Jesus is the one who gives the Holy Spirit without measure. The words of Jesus are spirit and they are life. It is the Holy Spirit who gives life. And through these words of Jesus that are filled with the Spirit, we receive the Spirit. It is through the message of the cross that the Holy Spirit is given and that the Holy Spirit continues to work in those who have ears to hear, those in which the Holy Spirit grants eyes to see and hearts to believe all the promises that are fulfilled in Christ. Now, as we concluded our lecture, we began to look at some of these epistles of the Apostle Paul, in which he talked about the person and work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the baptized. Now, in particular, we looked at the epistle to the Christians in Ephesus. So in today's lecture, we will continue to look in particular at this epistle to those Christians, the baptized, who were in Ephesus. And the same words of Paul, of course, we hear in our day as Christians dwelling wherever we may be in this fallen world, listening to the teaching of the apostles that reveal to us the knowledge of salvation. So let's look at this whole entire letter of the epistle to the Ephesians. If you look at chapter 1, verse 1, we note that it is opened this way: Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Now that's just verse 1, just these introductory comments. And in understanding these remarks, that we know that Paul is talking to those who have been called by the gospel. That Paul is writing a letter to those who have been gathered by the Holy Spirit and enlightened with his gifts, those who have been baptized. For the saints are those who have been washed clean, who have the righteousness and the holiness of Christ bestowed and covering them. And so these are the saints, the holy ones, the ones who have faith in Christ, the ones who have been baptized and receive his holiness as a gift. And so this is how the letter begins. It's to the saints, those who have heard the word, those who have received the Spirit, and Paul encourages them to continue to live in the Spirit. So look at how Paul continues his introductory comments. Says, drop down to verse 13, and we read this: in him, that being Christ, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, being Christ, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. So here we have this understanding that the word of the cross, the message of salvation that we have in Christ alone, through that gospel of our salvation, the Holy Spirit is bestowed. The Holy Spirit is given. The Holy Spirit is received. So these individuals who have been baptized, who have the gospel, who continue to hear the gospel, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So that the Holy Spirit is sent by the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is given to continue to guide us, lead us, continue to enlighten us with all of his gifts. He continues to teach us with the Spirit-filled Word. And so we have this as a guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. We have the hope of the resurrection of the body because of Christ. Christ has died for us. In our baptism, we've been crucified with him. Christ was raised for us. In our baptism, we have been raised with him. And so now we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, the person of the Spirit, and we continue to have the gifts of the Spirit given to us through these means of grace, through which the Holy Spirit is working in us until that last day, when we actually see the reality of a resurrected body where we no longer have any sin, no longer struggle with sin, and no longer have any suffering, pain, or any corruption because of sin. But now we wait for that day. And the Holy Spirit is the guarantee while we wait. And so Paul continues in Ephesians, a drop down to verse 15, and he says this, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints." Now this is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. And in these words, we learn that Paul himself as an apostle is praying for those who heard the word that he preached, the message of the cross. He's praying that the Holy Spirit would continue to work in them. He is praying to the Father through the Son in the Spirit, that the Father would continue to give the Spirit. And it's the Spirit of wisdom that gives the gift of wisdom. It is the Spirit of revelation that gives the gift of revelation and the knowledge of Jesus. And so here you have a combination between God's Word that reveals to us the knowledge of salvation and Paul, who is praying for those who hear, praying that the Holy Spirit would be active and working in the lives of those who hear the word, that their hearts would be open, as he says here, the eyes of their hearts would be enlightened. So here we see that Paul continues to pray for those of whom he is teaching, that they would continue to grow in their knowledge of salvation, that they would continue to dwell and live in the Word of God, abide in Christ and Christ in them, and that the Spirit would continue to work in them. And you see, as Paul continues into chapter 2 of Ephesians, he says this in verse 18, "For through him," that Christ, "through Christ, we both have access in one Spirit to the Father." Now, here in this passage, we see this wonderful teaching on the three persons of the Holy Trinity, that we have access to the Father, the person of the Father, through the Son and in the Holy Spirit. And so here we have Paul teaching us about prayer. For in Christ, we can actually come before the Father. And we do this in the Spirit himself, teaching us by the Spirit-filled words what to petition the Father, and the Spirit himself interceding for us in our prayers, because we in our weakness don't even know what we should be asking. And so you have the work of the Holy Spirit tied to his word and in the prayer that's connected with that word. And so Paul continues to pray for those Christians in Ephesus, that they would continue to be enlightened by the Holy Spirit. And so he goes on in the next verse in chapter 2 of Ephesians saying this, "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. And so here Paul continues to teach those who have been baptized, those who have been called by the Holy Spirit through the gospel, that they would understand that they are being built up. This is the same imagery that we've talked about in lectures in the past, that the people of God are being built together into this temple for God, that God dwells in the midst of his people, that we are being built up. As we are being joined and as we are growing, we continue to increase in our understanding of God's word through the power of the Holy Spirit. So here, Paul is encouraging those who have been built on this foundation of the apostles and the prophets, those offices through which the Holy Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit speaks through the prophets and the apostles to reveal to us the knowledge of salvation. And then through this office, this apostolic and prophetic office, the Holy Spirit also inspires their words in written form for posterity's sake, so that we can continue to build upon that foundation, the one that God gives to us, the revealed knowledge from his apostles and his prophets sent by him, the ones who are to teach us his word. And so Paul is encouraging us to stay on this foundation, the teaching of the apostles. The teaching of the apostles and the prophets both proclaim to us Jesus. And this is what the Comforter is to do. As Jesus had promised the coming Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, that when he comes, he would bear witness of Jesus and he would glorify Jesus. And this is what the apostles and the prophets do in the written word. They speak of Jesus. They teach us Jesus. They give to us Jesus, that we would know in Christ we have access to the living God. In Christ, sinners are forgiven and reconciled with the Creator. And so Paul will continue in chapter 3 of Ephesians. If you jump over to the next chapter, look at verse 20 and 21. This is what Paul says. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or even think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. So that's Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. And so here Paul is, again, speaking to those who have been baptized, to the people of God, to those who are saints, those who have been justified by faith, declared righteous for the sake of Christ. And these ones who are hearing are the ones that Paul wants to continue to lead in the knowledge of salvation through the work of the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit is at work in those who hear the word of God, the word of Christ as it comes from the apostles. For Jesus himself said when he sent out his apostles, those who receive his apostles receive him. Those who hear his apostles hear him. And so here Paul is speaking this apostolic message of Christ. And the Holy Spirit is at work in us, doing far more than we could ever possibly imagine. For he is the power at work in us, building this temple of God. And so in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul uses this teaching rooted in baptism, explaining to those who have been baptized the riches that they have in this wonderful gift of the washing of regeneration, in this wonderful gift of the Spirit and the Word through which we are begotten from above. And so Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 4, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And so here we have this from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, where Paul will emphasize this great work that God has done and has begun in us through the gift of baptism. For in our baptism we have been given the name of God. He has called us. He has given to us the gift of the Spirit promised in baptism as we are calling upon the name of the Lord. So that in our baptism we have the identity in God, that we are those who belong to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so Paul here encourages those who have been called by God through baptism to be the people of God, washing their sins away in the blood of Christ, being holy because of the work of the Holy Spirit, who continues to sanctify, cleanse, and continues to increase in those who've been baptized the knowledge of salvation. So that in our baptism we understand that we have died to sin. But the problem is we still dwell in this fallen world, in which the world entices us and encourages us to sin. So Paul, throughout his epistles, will encourage us, on the contrary, to live out our identity in our baptism, that we would daily die to sin and daily rise again to God in newness of life. And so here Paul is encouraging us who have been baptized that we would walk in the Spirit, that we would walk in the Spirit, listening to the Spirit, being filled by the Spirit through the power of the gospel, through which the Holy Spirit bears fruit in our lives. That the Holy Spirit gives us gifts such as humility and gentleness and patience, being able to bear with one another in love. The first of the fruits of the Spirit is love. And that we would desire to maintain this unity of the Spirit, that we would continue to be filled with the Spirit in the words of Christ that are giving the Spirit to us. That we would be united in the teaching that Christ gives, clinging to His Word, that we abide in Him and He would abide in us. And so here Paul says that we have been called into this one body, this one building, this one temple, this one people of God in Christ Jesus, in which there is one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is at work in us. And we are called together in the name of one Lord, the one Lord being Jesus Christ, in our one baptism in which we are given His name. And we all confess the Father who sent the Son, and the Father and the Son who have sent to us the Spirit. And so Paul emphasizes our identity in our baptism, which grants to us access to the Father through the Son in the Spirit. And Paul encourages us to live here, dwell here, abide in fellowship with God, that we would remain in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we would remain in the love of God and in this fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And so Paul will also emphasize a baptism in the next chapter, in chapter 5. If you drop down to verses 25 through 27, Paul says this: Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word, so that He might present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. That's Ephesians 5, verses 25 through 27. And so here we see this wonderful work of the Holy Spirit, the one who calls us, the one who gathers us and enlightens us in this holy church, the one who continues to sanctify us. I would prefer if in the English language we had a word holify, because it would make more sense to say that the Holy Spirit holifies us. But we don't have a word like that, so we say he sanctifies us. But understand that to be sanctified is to be holy. It is the holiness of Christ that is bestowed upon us. And it is the Holy Spirit who has this unique office in which he continues to comfort us with the holiness of Christ, making us his holy people. And so Paul will encourage us as the people of God who have been washed with water in the Word to remain in him. Those who have been presented to Christ, cleansed, should desire to remain in Christ, cleansed. That Christ himself purchased us with his own blood, pouring it out to wash us from all of our sins and iniquities, that we would have no spot, no wrinkle, or no blemish at all. And so God, who first loved us, then we begin to understand as the Holy Spirit leads us to increase in our comprehension of how much God loves us and continues to love us in Christ. And the more that we grow in God's love, as Christ says, abide in my love, the more that we begin to grow in our love for others. But we still live in this fallen world. And even though we are sanctified, even though we are purified, even though we have no spot or wrinkle or blemish in Christ's sight, we are saints and sinners at the same time. And we have this constant struggle that we live here in the world and we have this desire to want to be part of the world, and that's the sinful flesh. And so Paul will continue to warn us, continue to admonish us, that we would daily die to sin, living out our baptism in which we have been crucified with Christ, and continue to live in his holiness. And so you see this warning, for example, back in chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. Here's what Paul says: to those who have heard the message of the cross and those who have begun to believe, he says this: let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. See, Paul warns us that even though we have been cleansed, we have been baptized, and we are now in Christ, and in Christ there is no condemnation, Paul warns us that we still have sin that clings to us. And so Paul informs us that it's the Holy Spirit who is at work in the baptized. It is the Holy Spirit who continues to work in the message of the cross, testifying to Jesus and glorifying Jesus, and working in us to put to death sin. But Paul says we must be careful that we do not grieve the Holy Spirit. For that's what the people of God did in the days of the Exodus from Egypt. That's what Isaiah tells us in chapter 63, that the people of God who were redeemed out of Egypt, who were freed from slavery to Pharaoh, they then grieved God's Holy Spirit, despising the work of God. They refused to listen to the word of God given through the mouth of the prophet Moses. And then, of course, as time went on, they grieved the Holy Spirit as they refused to hear his word in the mouths of all the prophets. For it is the Holy Spirit who desires to work in us through the power of the gospel. It is the Holy Spirit who wants to continue to work in us with his word. And so this is why throughout Scripture we have these warnings that we do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Or, as we learn from Acts chapter 7, that we do not resist the work of the Holy Spirit as those who came before us in the times of the Old Testament, and those who resisted the Holy Spirit in the days of the apostles. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul warns us, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good and abstain from every form of evil. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 through 22. Or in Hebrews chapter 10, we are told that we are not to outrage the Spirit of grace. In verse 29 of Hebrews chapter 10, we are told this: how much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of God? And likewise, Jesus, of course, warns us in Matthew chapter 12 that every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Therefore, in Ephesians chapter 5, the apostle warns us, starting at verse 15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. So here Paul admonishes us to remain in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit of wisdom who makes us wise, and not to be foolish like the way of the world, but instead be filled with the Spirit. And it is Jesus whom God has sent who utters the words of God and gives the Spirit without measure. It is Jesus who gives his word, which is filled with the Spirit. For the Spirit gives life, and the words that Jesus speaks are spirit and life. So that as we continue to hear the word of Jesus, we continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit is at work in those who hear the word of God. Once again, Paul ties this being filled with the Spirit with the word of God and with prayer. That in prayer we are to give thanks always, and for everything we are to petition God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because through the Son, we have access to the Father in the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.